talking, and everyone looked expectantly at Badju. It was time to sign. Truculent to the last, Badju picked up the document and began to study it, aware of Donich exchanging anxious glances with his cronies.
Good.
Once they had his signature, they would be rid of him forever, so it was his last chance to be irksome. As he pretended to read, he was pleased to note that it was not only the fellows who were becoming riled by his antics, so was the Lady of Clare, who considered herself far too important to be kept waiting by the likes of him. Widowed 3 times before she was 30, she had inherited a vast fortune, which had given her an inflated sense of her own worth. Well, it would do her good to learn that money could not buy everything, because he would not be rushed. Another person made uneasy by the delay was the lady's steward, Robert Marischal. Rashly, Marischal had brought his children to Cambridge with him, twins, 9 years old. Thomas and Ella looked like angels with their golden locks and blue eyes, but within an hour of their arrival, they had broken 3 valuable plates, torn a book, and let a pig into the parish church. And now some new delinquency was in the making, because they were nowhere to be seen. Their apprehensive father was desperate for the signing to be over so that he could find the brats before there was yet more trouble.
"You have had an entire decade to ponder this quitclaim, Master Badju," barked the lady eventually. "Do you really need to go through it again?"
"I am a lawyer, my lady,"
Badju replied with haughty dignity.
"And the law and haste make for poor bedfellows. None of us want to be subjected to this disagreeable rigmarole a second time just because some facet of the transfer is badly worded."
"We both know that is unlikely, given the number of times it has been redrafted," the lady retorted dryly. "Or would you rather I took my patronage to another foundation?"
"There is no need for that," blurted Donich in alarm,
before Badju could tell her to do it.
"We are all delighted by your offer to save us from financial ruin."
"Financial ruin?" echoed Badju indignantly. "I have been more than generous, and it takes £60 a year to run a college properly," interrupted Donich acidly. "Not the 20 you provide. So, unless you can give us what we need, it is time for you to step aside and let someone else help us."
£60! Cried Badju, shocked. "That is outrageous. Greedy, even. But, regardless, I refuse to be bullied. So either shut up while I read this thing or I shall go home."
Everyone immediately fell silent, knowing he meant it. Only when the audience was completely still did Badju bend to the quitclaim again, carefully weighing the implications of each word until he reached the end. And then there was no more he could do. The last battle was over and the war was lost. With a sense of bitter regret, he picked up his pen, acutely aware of the tension that filled the room. He gave the nib a good dunk in the inkpot and started to write. Then flung the pen away with an exclamation of disgust. It was not ink in the pot, but thick red blood.
"You put that in there yourself, Badju," snarled Donich accusingly. "You cannot bear to admit defeat, so you resort to low tricks instead. You will do anything to postpone."
"How dare you?"
bellowed Badju, affronted. "What do you take me for?"
"I shall offer my purse to Michaelhouse if this business is not resolved today,"
warned the lady before Donich could tell him.
"I have had enough of Badju's juvenile capers."
"Juvenile capers,"
mused Ruse, and pointed to a bulge in a tapestry. The cloth trembled as the 2 small culprits laughed helplessly behind it.
"I think an apology is in order, Donich."